Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be addressing the question, are close family members a mix of unbelievers and then believers with not heretical but poor doctrine? Should we vocalize to our children, child the wrong thinking they've adopted beforehand, or respond to those things as he or she encounters them?
Okay. Now, we've probably got numerous folks in our congregation and doubtless people all over the place who have similar situations, because most of us do not come from two families that are Reformed Baptists.
Right.
You know? So you've got some family members that may not be believers, some that maybe they're non-reformed, maybe even Oneness Pentecostal. You got some weird stuff out there. Now, Oneness Pentecostal would be heretical, I would say. But what do you do with your kids? Do you warn them ahead of time that so-and-so believes this? Or do you just wait and correct those things as they come up in front of your kids? That's the question, it seems.
Okay. And I want to clarify, Greg, yeah. You didn't say one that's a Pentecostal. You said oneness.
Oneness Pentecostal. Yeah, oneness Pentecostalism, which is, it's not necessarily the Pentecostalism that's the problem. It's the oneness part that's
right.
The problem, which is actually an ancient Trinitarian heresy.
Right, right. Well, okay. First we want to focus on positive instruction.
Yes.
So focus first on positive instruction.
Yeah, focus first on positive instruction. And I will say, you know, there may be some people who disagree with how we're going to answer this, but this is just my thought. So focus primarily, like as a priority, on positive instruction. And when I use the word positive here, I don't mean it in the sense of be positive and happy. I mean focus on telling them what's true rather than what's false. Point out the things that we should believe, rather than pointing out all of the things that we shouldn't believe. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The instruction of the Lord, in my mind, is just a way of saying, bring them up, teaching them the Bible, teach them about the Lord. There are so many aberrant theologies and wrong ideas out there about God, that if we try to warn our kids about every one of them, we may run out of time to tell them all of the true things about God. What a horror that would be.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much that's wonderful about God. What a horrible thing if we wasted all of our time talking about everything that's wrong. We want to focus on what's right. The most effective way to prepare our children to spot error is to teach them truth. So teach them who God is, everything about who God is, and they will be far more likely to see that something is wrong when they hear something that's off. Like I just mentioned Oneness Pentecostalism, which is this the oneness part is that there's an ancient heresy called modalism that you're aware of, where God is not three persons simultaneously, but there is one God and basically one person who just manifests himself differently at different times. So he was the Father, and then he was the Son, and then he's the Holy Spirit. So he's never three persons simultaneously. Well, if we teach our kids, here's this wonderful truth about God, the Trinity, he's three in one, and we show them these pictures in Scripture of all three persons together at the same time, like at Jesus' baptism, and then they hear somebody saying this nonsense of modalism, they're likely going to scratch their heads and say, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily have ever had to say the word modalism to them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we at PBF just participated in the Secret Church broadcast last week with David Platt, and the subject was cults and counterfeit gospels. And David Platt, he did talk about counterfeit gospels, but he prepared us to see why those gospels were counterfeit by first spending a good deal of time on the one true gospel. So I'd say just spend a child's adolescents, showing them, here's what the Bible teaches, and that lays the perfect groundwork for being able to have any kind of conversation necessary whenever error comes up, and whenever conversations with family members or acquaintances bring up things that do not coincide with Scripture. In fact, if you're diligent enough and train your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, you may not have to do as much warning as you may have thought. I mean, they'll likely pick up on the error because of how thoroughly they'll have learned the truth about God and Jesus and the gospel. It's just a wonderful thing. We just want to, I with my kids want them to be so enamored with truth that they love it so much they could spot a phony. Because they just love the truth so much, you know.
Amen. Yeah, and in your positive instruction about the Bible, warn about the real danger of error.
Right, and warning them about error, I would consider part of that positive instruction because the New Testament teaches it's true that there is error out there. So the Bible warns us in the Old Testament and the New that the world is full of lies intended to lead us away from God. And by my count, 24 of the 27 books of the New Testament warn us about error or false teaching. So if we're determined to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it'll be necessary to include the fact that there are those out there who believe different things than we do, and some of those things are dangerous. And as part of that positive instruction, I would also want to differentiate between error and heresy. We want to be somewhat charitable with error, not so charitable with heresy.
Right.
Modalism, I mentioned just a second ago, is heresy. You can't believe that about God and be saved. That's a different God. That's not the God of the Bible. So we could say error is having a wrong view on a non-essential doctrine. Heresy is having a wrong view of an essential doctrine. Now, we do want to eliminate error from our thinking because we want to know and worship God rightly, but we want to avoid heresy because we want to be saved.
Yeah.
So we want to teach our kids that we want to believe what's right and true, and that there are these two things called error and heresy. They're not exactly the same thing; they're kind of different degrees. But the main thing that we want to get across is that even among those who call themselves Christians, there are those who hold error and heresy. Not all people who call themselves Christians are actually Christians. And so for us, it's essential to be good students of the Bible and make sure that our thinking and belief is governed by the Scriptures.
Yeah, so and we also need to deal generally and secondarily with aberrant belief systems.
Yeah. When I say generally, I mean talk about specific belief systems, but without attaching them to anyone in particular that the kids know. So,
right.
Like if you've got a Catholic aunt, I wouldn't say, hey, let's talk about what Aunt B believes and why it's wrong, but rather, hey, there's this thing called Catholicism that's not faithful to the biblical gospel. You know, you could do that, so I would deal with those things generally. And I would deal with them secondarily. In other words, I would only deal with those things after laying a firm foundation for the truth, okay? Because if you start throwing, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholicism and stuff in front of a kid that doesn't understand biblical justification and all that stuff, it's just going to confuse them. I mean, you really would want them to know the biblical gospel inside and out before you start throwing these things in there, because let's be honest. I mean, Catholicism and Protestant Christianity, it would be really easy for them to get those things confused as it pertains to faith and works. I mean, there are people in the Protestant church who don't understand the difference between what we believe and Catholics believe on that, and the difference is deadly.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to throw that at them until they actually knew really well what we believe on those things.
Right. Rather than warning children about the specific beliefs of family members, deal with errors as they come up.
Right. So that now we're finally getting to the actual question that was asked. All this other stuff has been groundwork, I guess we could say. I would not warn kids about their family members or friends who have different beliefs than they do ahead of time. I would just fill them with love for the scriptures and knowledge of the scriptures. And then as those things pop up with family members, just deal with them as they come up. And there are at least a couple reasons why I would say that this is the wiser course. The first is that if we warn them ahead of time, we may unnecessarily be creating an us versus them atmosphere in the family, okay? And this may cause our kids to actually fear that family member or friend when that most likely is not necessary. We don't want them to fear that person, but to love them. And it seems to me that it's much easier to deal with the situation after the fact with just a low-key conversation, something like, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said today? What do you think the Bible would say about that? So you can have that conversation and lead them around to a better biblical understanding of whatever was said by that family member, and then say, you know, we've talked about this before. A lot of people believe things that are not in the Bible, and some people understand things in the Bible differently than we do. We would say that they're in error, but we love them anyway, and we still love our family member or whatever, you know, however you would want to word that. But if you warn them ahead of time, they may be on their guard and apprehensive about being around that person or about having a conversation with them, or may put up an unnecessary strain between them and that family member or between you and that family member. And especially like if you're dealing with a younger child, now Naomi can't talk, so let's use Naomi as an example. No, Naomi can't talk, but let's say that when Naomi's 3 years old and you were to warn her about whoever, a friend that has an aberrant worldview or something, and then so you've warned her about that, and then y'all are having this guy over for dinner. She's young enough that she might say, my daddy says that you believe nonsense. I mean,
right.
That put a strain between you and him in a heartbeat. True. And then good luck talking to that guy about the gospel. You right. know what I'm saying? So
good point.
Deal with it on the back end. That's the first reason. Second, by warning them ahead of time about what other people may believe or say, we may be training them to make assumptions about a people. And it's probably just a better lesson to let that family member do or say what they're going to do or say and then deal with it biblically. Because if you try to preempt it and then that person never says anything like what you predicted, you've modeled assumption making for your child, which is a bad idea. Hmm. So those are my thoughts on the question. And
I got a question for
you. Yeah.
Now, would you ever encourage, maybe it's a better way to put it, under what scenarios might you encourage limiting time, or would you ever say it's appropriate to not leave your child alone with a family member for any specific beliefs that they may have?
I would not leave them alone with a family member who was obviously trying to indoctrinate them with a different way of thinking. So if I had, I name an error, certainly a heresy, but even an error, like if I had, Arminianism isn't the worst thing in the world, but like if I had Arminian in-laws and they were just dead set on getting my kids to come around to that side, I would not leave my kids alone with them.
Now, like, what if they were regularly telling your kids, you know, yeah, you can lose your salvation? Would you consider that trying to indoctrinate them? And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I would. And so I would not leave my kids alone with them, and I would also have a conversation with my in-laws. Now, let me just say this. My in-laws are fantastic. It's weird for me to even use them. And they're safe to use for this because they're so wonderful.
Right.
So this is, like, totally make-believe. But if that was the situation, I would talk to them too.
Sure.
And say, I'm training my children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You are not. Hmm. And I would be more diplomatic about it than that. But if you're going to insist on undoing the things that I'm doing in my home, then they'll only be spending time with you when I'm there with them. That can change if your commitment to changing their theology changes. So if you will submit to how I'm raising my children, then they can spend time with you alone. If not, then for the foreseeable future, you will see me sitting next to them whenever you see them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, if it's not something to where they're actually trying to change their mind, or they just think Arminian things, they say Arminian things in front of them, that's different. I mean, I want to lay such a firm foundation for my kids of fidelity to Scripture and commitment to biblical theology, that they can tolerate error in the same room with them and be okay. Because they spend way more time with me than they spend with anybody else. They should be able to deal with a little bit of error from time to time. Otherwise, I mean, and that's actually a good training ground for when they leave the nest. I mean, they actually need to hear some things that they're not used to hearing. And then I want to be the one that they're talking to about that.
Sure.
So you could say it's almost a good thing for them to hear those things.
Yeah.
And then get in the habit of, hey, Mom and Dad, this was said. Can we talk about this?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Because if you're the safe person to talk about those things, what a gift from God if that happens and it continues into their adulthood. I mean, that's an amazing thing, amazing gift.
Well, this has been helpful to me, having a little girl. So
very good.
Hopefully this helps a lot of other people too.
Hallelujah.
Until next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.